This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We know Idaho has a doctor shortage. It's a shortage that's even more acute in rural areas of our state. And then when it comes to dental health, a similar lack of access to regular cleanings can compound issues like gum disease. Today, we're talking to two dentists who work with underprivileged and special needs patients in rural Idaho who have found ways to help bridge that gap. Dr. Brooke Fukuoku practices in Jerome, while Dr. Monty Epic works with patients in Adams County. I want to thank both of you for coming in. Brooke, I think I butchered your last name, so I apologize.
Well, I think you did great on my last name.
Thank you. I'm going to call you Dr. Brooke as we get started. So your practice is in Jerome. Tell us about the patients that you work with and really where they come from.
And so the patients that we focus on are people that have special needs and geriatric patients who have limited mobility. And we work with the hospital because some people can't be treated in an ordinary clinic setting. But we also have a mobile practice where we go and treat people in a more familiar setting. And so our practice is actually quite interesting and large. There's a lot of facets to it, but we work primarily with people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get care in an ordinary setting.
And Dr. Monty, what about you? I understand you are the only dentist in all of Adams County.
Thanks for having me on today. I used to be the only dentist in Adams County. The last 4 years, we actually have brought in one more dentist who's working with me here.
So how many patients do you usually see then?
On a given day or over the course of a year?
Probably the course of a year. I mean, when there's only, I mean, now, okay, you have two dentists, but we're talking an entire county.
Right. So the Adams County has 3,600 people, and there are other dentists, you know, on the edges of the county. So some of those would go to other dentists. But, you know, I would say for the most part, most of Adams County comes to see me. A lot of those patients don't go to the dentist every year. But I guess I don't know off the top of my head, but maybe 1,000.
So a lot. So Dr. Brooke, our producer spoke with you a bit earlier, and you told her one story that you had a patient where you filled 29 cavities in one day. Why do you think things like that are happening?
Well, for our patient population, because our population is so unique, a lot of times there's trouble with them getting in to find a dentist. And there's a lot of issues and barriers for these patients, one of which is a lot of times they don't know where to go. Mm. Sometimes people will get nervous about bringing their adult loved one that has special needs into the dentist because they're afraid of how those behaviors are going to affect people around them. And so one suggestion that we have for people, if any of your listeners do have people who they'd like to bring into the dentist, is you can bring their history and physical into the dentist office in advance so that dentist can take a look at that patient, know their medical complications, and discuss potential behaviors beforehand. Also, as a parent or a loved one that brings that person in, to not have that nervous energy. So go in there and be happy and be excited about the dentist. And if you can't do that, find someone who can, because I can't tell you how much more success we get when everyone in the room is excited about what we're doing in a good way. Behavior is so modified by your environment, and I just would like to encourage people to give it a try and that you could have more success than you think.
Because you can really feel that energy coming off of people.
Oh, absolutely, and our patients can as well.
So you also see patients with autism. Others have developmental disabilities that require you to really put them completely under, correct?
Yes.
So I imagine it's pretty expensive. So how is all this covered?
Most of this is covered through the Medicaid program. And so what we do is we submit authorizations and we explain why we have to do this under general anesthesia. Our goal with our program is actually not to put them under. Mm. We have an entire day of every month where we screen patients. And our goal with that is to say, is there any other way that we can get this done that's less invasive and more cost effective? And so actually, that was today, and that was why I was able to drive down today, as we screened 8 patients. And out of those 8 patients that we screened, I believe 6 of them will need to have a procedure. But I found a couple of them that I think, we can work together. Mm-hmm. And one of them we found, yes, for the invasiveness that you need right now, we need to go to sleep and get this done. But I think in the future, as long as we keep up on it, we can see you in the clinic and we can see you regularly, we can become friends, you'll trust me, and then we'll no longer have to do that. That is our goal, is to not repeat the OR.
And Dr. Monty, what kind of treatment do you see with your patients? Is it different than what Dr. Brooke sees, or are there some similarities?
You know, there are some similarities in that we both practice rural dentistry, but I think that my patient load is a little bit different. I have a private practice that's in Council in Cambridge, Idaho, and then I'm also the dental director at a federally qualified community health center in Adams County called the Adams County Health Center. The Adams County Health Center focuses primarily on populations that, you know, adults and children alike with issues as far as being low income, having a hard time paying for dentistry on their own. At the private practice setting, we just focus on a very broad range of services for all kinds of patients, things like IV sedation, implants, all kinds of things.
And I would assume some of your patients, too, are covered by Medicaid?
That's for sure. Especially at the Adams County Health Center, we definitely cater to Medicaid. We have a sliding fee scale there as well, so patients that maybe aren't on Medicaid could still receive dental care for a much less expensive cost.
So if this is a question for both of you, what do you think you need to serve your patients better in rural parts of the state?
Brooke, do you want to go first?
Oh, sure. I actually think that serving patients in a rural area, I love it. Because when I try to design programs, what we're doing is we're taking a unique population that has issues with access to care based on we need some systems in place that are creative to meet their behavioral needs. And in order to develop things innovatively, you need to be able to talk to decision makers and partner with other programs. In a rural area, I'm able to just go talk to those people. I don't have to climb the hierarchical ladder to finally talk to a person who can actually give me an answer. Like, I walk up to Bob and shake his hand. We have a talk, and then all of a sudden there's a change and things get better. So I think that when people are looking at programs, looking in rural areas for innovation is a really positive way to get things done. And I've seen so much progress because of my ability to get to know people and to network with people in those small towns where everyone knows each other and we can trust each other. There's just a lot less, I hate to use red tape, but that's kind of how it feels.
And what about you, Dr. Monty?
You know, I think that there's a lot of conversation that goes on in the community when there are issues. Like Brooke said, you tend to know a lot of the different people that are in charge of various aspects of these communities. And so it's pretty easy, I think, for things to come to the forefront and people to be asking questions of each other about what might be an issue and how maybe would be a good option to solve it, and then to form some sort of coalition to maybe make things happen. It does tend to come together maybe a little bit more easily and maybe a little more obviously.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today. We've been talking with dentists Brooke Fukuoku and Monty Epic. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we are looking for your questions for an upcoming segment. We are actually recording an interview with Governor Brad Little that will air January 6th, right before his State of the State address. And you can go ahead and send us questions. You can write us an email or send us a voice memo. Our email is idahomatters@boisestate.edu. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.